Joining me now on the phone is Pat Brady, former Illinois State Republican Party chairman with Next Generation Strategies. And Pat is just back from those ceremonies yesterday at the National Cathedral in Washington. Pat, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Yeah, glad to be here, Rick.
I was reading this morning, last night, some of the take of the coverage of this funeral service, and it to a person, it was a large repudiation of Donald Trump. I don't know any other way to say it.
No, it clearly was. And when Meghan McCain, the clip you played, when she made that statement, I was sitting towards the back. And you could see people's heads kind of turning when she made the statement. But then it's when she made the Make America Great statement, everyone clapped. And it wasn't just a clap. It was a loud clap. In fact, I thought it was going to be a standing ovation for a second. But all the speeches had the same theme. And I think a lot of people in that room, and I'm glad the leaders of, or former leaders in this country, have stepped up to say that the way that the president decides to run things and the discourse and the statements he makes and the tweets aren't what the country's all about, and I think a lot of people feel that way.
And yet, about 5:30 yesterday afternoon, the president tweets out in all capital letters, "Make America Great Again."
Well, and I think that just underscores what these folks today or yesterday were trying to say about Senator McCain and a lot of the other people in the room about the proper role of the president and the presidency and how he should conduct himself in that office and how we should all conduct ourselves in the realm of politics. And I think that a lot more Americans like the message that John McCain stood for and Barack Obama and George Bush and Joe Lieberman and all the other people that spoke about how we should manage politics. And I know the president has his supporters and people that like that kind of rhetoric and it fires him up, but I think a lot of people, and I think the majority of the people, don't like it and are fed up with it. And I think we reached a real tipping point with Senator McCain's death and the statements he made that even came out after his death. I think people are really taking a hard look at the way the president conducts himself.
And yet, one of the things I read this morning was from a conservative outlet who said that John McCain's biggest sin was allowing Barack Obama to be president.
I mean, that's about the stupidest thing. I saw the same
thing. Did you?
you can't argue with stupid.
I guess we better get...
Free country, you have a First Amendment right to say anything, and you have a First Amendment right to say stupid stuff, so just call it what it is.
But I just mean, there is that mindset. There is that mentality that exists.
And they're free to have their mindset, and they're free to make statements. But when people, it just goes against what people, heroes like McCain and President Obama and George Bush. I tell you what, I was out there with Leader Jim Durkin, and we spent Thursday night with Senator Durbin, who could not have been more gracious to his former opponent. Jim Durkin ran against him in 2002.
Right.
And actually, if you watch the event, you saw Jim Durkin was sitting in the third row right behind Senator Durbin. He got him up there, but it was just one of these conversations we had with Senator Durbin, a guy I got a lot of respect for, and Jim Durkin, and it was all about, you know, we can't operate this way, and those two don't, and I think they're good examples, as were the people that were there yesterday.
Well, we're going to talk more about lessons learned, perhaps, out of all of this with Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, now with Next Generation Strategies. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Joined on the phone by Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, now with Next Generation Strategies. And Pat was at the ceremonies at the National Cathedral in Washington yesterday for Senator John McCain. And I guess, Pat, you know, there was a piece in Esquire that I read too about the kind of reaction of this week and basically of the assemblage of people that were at the National Cathedral, people from both parties, but perhaps aimed more so at kind of the Republican establishment leadership, and kind of wondering, so what's next? You had members of the Trump cabinet. You had his chief of staff who was there. And after all of this, I know a person on Twitter put, how do you go back to work in the West Wing?
Yeah. Ivanka and Jared were there, too. And I did see one tweet where one of the Trump supporters was complaining they weren't up close enough to the front. But that's a good question, and that's what we're going to have to see going forward. Is this just a two-week thing where we remember what John McCain stood for, or are we actually going to see some change in behavior? But you do have guys, a patriot like General Kelly, who I think understands how the president should operate. But it's the president's problem. I mean, Rick, you and I work and live in this world. I think a lot of people in Congress and in Springfield actually want and try to get along and try to get things done and don't engage in the kind of conduct the president does. And I think the overwhelming majority of people want that. But unfortunately, we have a president who just doesn't seem to understand he's president of the United States now, which means he's also head of state, not just commander in chief. But he's never really truly appreciated it or understood it.
No, and I understand that. But I guess, too, it's more of a question about, you know, look at a man like John Kelly. How do you work for that? I mean, how do you, and then other people, other frankly Republicans who are enablers.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid point. But I haven't crawled into all their heads, but I think some of them think that in order to get the agenda done that they were elected to do. Because they have actually had a fairly successful Congress since President Trump's been in office. Got tax cut, a lot of regulatory rollbacks, things that Republicans like. And I think, I can't speak for all of them, but my opinion is they probably just justify it by saying, hey, we're getting legislation done that is Republican type of legislation, so we're going to keep doing it. But, you know, at some point, I think the tipping point is going to be this election in November. If we lose the House, Republicans is U.S. House. I think you might see a lot of people fall away, and Trump's going to have a really hard time finding people, good people to work for him.
Well, the piece in Esquire I was referring to is written by Charlie Pierce, and he said this was his take of yesterday, is that we let the customs, manners, norms, and institutions weaken through neglect, and now we are in open conflict with an elected president. And make no mistake about it, John McCain's funeral was a council of war. And it was a council of war because that's what John McCain meant it to be.
Can't disagree with that. Yeah, you sit in that room and listen to what everyone, or that cathedral, and listen to what everybody said, and I think you could take that away. But even if it is, more important to me is what's going to happen now. What's going to happen going forward? How are we going to handle all this? And again, I think the tipping point is going to be the November elections at the national level.
Well, let's look at those elections. I mean, do you think the blue wave is real?
No, I don't. I think there's a good chance. I mean, it's 50-50, maybe more, that the Republicans could lose the House. But I don't see the wave, just because I think there's a lot more support, not for the president and his idiocy, but the president and his policies, than the polls reveal. We saw that in the exit polls on election night 2 years ago. And we got to remember, too, in 2010, since Barack Obama became president, we picked up some 900 legislative seats. We drew a lot of the maps for these congressional districts, we meaning Republicans. So it's more of an uphill climb than I think everybody kind of realizes. So could we lose the House? Yeah. Is it likely? I'm not sure. But I don't see this big blue 60-seat wave that the Democrats have been talking about for so long.
But is it possible, though, to separate the president from the policies? Because I know that's how the congressional candidates want to run, and I get that, because obviously the tax cut issue is a saleable issue across the country, but when you have the president stepping on the message every turn of the way, it dilutes the ability of Republicans in Congress to deliver that message.
No, absolutely. And he's doing so much harm to the Republican Party by the behavior yesterday. I think to answer your question, I think you somewhat can separate it. I think it's worse in certain parts of the country, the suburban areas around the major metropolitan areas. I think folks in those areas get painted more with the Trump brush than others might. right? If you got 4.1% GDP, economy's great, 401ks are great. I think that's the tailwind that the Republicans have. But again, it remains to be seen whether the Trump behavior is going to really hurt everyone or people are just going to vote their pocketbooks.
Well, to me, it seems like, you know, the what we've seen in some of those special elections, not that they're always a harbinger of what's ahead, but certainly point to very serious problems for Republicans in traditionally Republican-oriented suburbs. And obviously we're seeing what's going on with the congressional campaigns going on in the Chicago suburban area.
Yeah, the Democratic turnout's been good. Enthusiasm is good. And that's a bad sign for Republicans. I'm not sure if special elections, as you mentioned, aren't necessarily directly correlate to what's going to happen in the general election. But you'll see the president, I think, in the next 68 or 65 days, whatever are left, he'll try to fire up the Republicans with issues that fire up Republicans. You know how he operates.
Right.
And I think...
But those issues that he uses to fire up Republicans don't necessarily resonate in those suburban areas.
Exactly. I completely agree with that. The only thing is that I think, and I know the real smart strategists are telling their candidates, don't use the impeachment word. Don't use the impeachment word if you're a Democrat, because what the country does not want that. And if they go overboard with it, I think they can really fire up people that are independents or maybe moderate Republicans to vote Republican versus voting for the Democratic candidate. I just don't think the country ever wants impeachment. And again, if you talk to the people like that, I think are the best Democratic strategists, they'll tell you don't mention impeachment.
Yeah, the I word is kind of frowned upon, I think, in a lot of circles.
Well, we lived it in 94 with Bill Clinton. Every time I was all fired up to do the impeachment hearings, go get Bill Clinton, you know, he left office with a 58% approval rating.
Yeah, right.
It didn't exactly, you know, we had the hearings and then that was it.
Although there was also Watergate, too. And
Yeah, that was, you bet, that's probably a different thing, too, or thing to think about with President Trump. I don't think they're ever going to get there. I've said it all along. But if they actually can prove collusion, meaning actually he conspired with the Russians, shouldn't say collusion, conspired with the Russians to meddle in the election, I think that's the tipping point for him on the support for impeachment. But they're not there yet. This Manafort stuff and all this stuff, as serious as it is, it's just not, it really hasn't touched the president yet.
More than obstruction of justice?
I've said all along I thought he obstructed justice.
Okay.
And you know what?
But isn't that an impeachable offense? I mean,
it is in my mind. It really truly is. And I've got a lot of friends that are mad at me for saying that. I completely believe it. But I'm not sure politically if the public believes he's obstructed justice, because I think he effectively made the argument it's within his power to do it. But had he not fired Comey, there would be no Manafort trial. None of this would have happened. Had he just let Comey sit there and do his job, none of this would have happened. But when you fire the FBI director, make statements you did it because you're trying to kill the investigation, and a bunch of tweets following up supporting that intent, that you got problems with obstruction.
What happens with Jeff Sessions?
Man, the buzz yesterday was, and you see people like Lindsey Graham saying the president has the right to do, Senator Lindsey Graham, right to do what he wants. I suspect after November he might be out, which, even in this environment, as you know, people hang around for about 2 years in some of those cabinet spots. So it's not super unusual for attorney general to leave after 2 years. But in this case, I would bet he's gone after November.
But there are extenuating circumstances with that.
Meaning insofar as if he fires him?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could make the argument that's, but, you know, he's recused from all the Russia stuff.
Right. But, I mean, so you get a new attorney general in that could in turn lead to firing the special counsel.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Okay.
You fired a special counsel.
I'm sorry, I was playing the third move down on the chessboard.
No, I completely. And I think everybody agrees, if he ends up firing Robert Mueller, whatever mechanism he uses to do it, he's going to have problems with Republicans, and that's going to be really problematic, particularly if the Democrats control the House. You can't fire the special counsel. It's just it'll kill him. But who knows what he'll do? A couple people were talking when I was out in D.C. over this weekend that they think that when the indictments, actually, this is all said and done with Mueller, that he'll just pardon everybody.
And
smart people firmly believe that's going to happen. I think then he'll get in peace.
Interesting times as always. Pat Brady, former state Republican chairman, now with Next Generation Strategies. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Rick. See ya.